You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
On location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba here, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer back at the world headquarters in downtown Madison on a beautiful day here in southwest Wisconsin. We are on location at Six Springs Farm. It is the 29th of July, 2025, and it is an especially great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, for this great on-location show. I should mention Chris Giese, our on-site producer with us as well, along with Zommers back at the world headquarters. Mr. Zommers, I can only say I wish you were here back in my part of the state, the Driftless region, because we got a very special guest with us today.
Yes, it's one that Todd has been excited about for a long time, and I think all of us really.
Yeah, it really is, and a lot of people are looking forward to it. So let's get right to it. He's sitting next to me. For those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, if you're not, if you want to see a great visual, we are literally outstanding in our field. Well, not our field, but Joe Thomas's field. He is a Hall of Famer for the Wisconsin Badgers in college football, as well as in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns, and the owner and founder of Hall of Fame Beef. Sitting next to me, Mr. Joe Thomas. Joe, thanks for letting us do this.
Oh, man, this is so cool. I never in my wildest dreams in 2012 when I bought this farm thought I'd be sitting next to you, Todd, in my pasture doing a live radio show throughout not just Wisconsin, throughout the world. We heard it. This is the worldwide headquarters. Down the street in Madison, and I guess, can this be the worldwide headquarters for Six Springs Farm?
Well, it is.
I think it just makes sense.
You made it so.
There it is. Well, a lot of worldwide headquarters around it. This is beautiful.
It really is. This means so much to me. As we were talking before, people, our regular viewers and listeners of this show, Brady Ewing, somebody, a fellow Richland Centerite, our parents live two houses apart, watched them go through Wisconsin, and he's kind enough, well, we just started this show almost 3 years ago. He was one of the first guests that came on, continues to do it. And just watching his career, watching your career from afar, never thought I'd have a chance to sit next to a Hall of Famer. I used to watch you on Sundays all over national television, and then watch you on the NFL Network, because you do it all, not just a player, you're also an analyst.
Yeah, I had to find a way to stay in football when I retired without coaching, because the coaching lifestyle didn't exactly mesh with the cattle ranching and the dad lifestyle. So it was a perfect combination to be able to stay around the game of football, give me a reason to watch all the games, dial in, do the homework, but then still have a little free time to get out here to the farm, do some hunting, chase some cattle around, coach the kids, and still have that little bit of balance that you don't get when you play in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I hope our listeners, our viewers will stick around for the entire 2 hours. Going to be a jam-packed show. Going to talk with Joe just a little bit about his college career and the transition to the NFL. And then we're going to get into a lot of what the heck are we doing in a field, and how does a kid from Brookfield end up in southwest Wisconsin raising cattle? And then our friend and co-host for the afternoon, Brady Ewing, is going to join us here on the set as well. And you never know, Joe, who's going to show up at Six Spring Farm might have a surprise guest by the end of the show.
We might have a surprise. I'm really excited. I hope it works out. The man is extremely busy. He's also in agriculture, and we've been trying to find a time to get together and bring him out here and show him the farm, and I'm just crossing my fingers it works out today.
We're hoping for it. And also in hour two, again, our regular listeners and viewers know we do this goofy thing in hour two called What's Worse. Today, the other white meat edition of that's what happens when Brady and I hang out together. I'm the other white meat. It's chicken or beef, or chicken or pork. Chicken or pork. We'll do that in hour number two. And Joe has been kind enough to say he'll take some of your phone calls in hour number two as well. Your chance to ask the Hall of Famer something about farming, about his football career. We'll take those calls in hour number two as well. Joe, let's just start off. Tell us a little bit, first of all. We'll do the present, and we'll go back. But this is a beautiful place in southwest Wisconsin, kind of a stone's throw, we'll say, from where Brady and I grew up in Richland County. It's a beautiful part of the state. What just initially made, you grew up in Brookfield. By the way, our own Dan Schaefer, political editor, when he heard this was happening, he goes, You know, I went to church with Joe Thomas's family at the Lutheran Church.
There you go, Cross of Life Lutheran Church there in Brookfield. That's beautiful.
So I'll bring Dan Schaefer back some snack sticks after the show.
Nice.
But you grew up in Brookfield, but you weren't a farming kid growing up, right?
No, wasn't. Drove by some farms that looked like they were having a good time out there when I would drive by. But I was always a country kid, even though I did grow up in the suburbs. You know, for family vacations, what we did is my dad would take us in the van. We'd drive up to Canada and we'd go fishing. We'd go canoeing, camping up in the Quetico in the wilderness up there or the Boundary Waters. And so from when I was a little kid, I was just in love with being outside. I did not want to be inside one second. I wanted to be dirty and I wanted to be sweaty. I wanted to be wrestling my buddies, catching fish. You know, I got into hunting when I was in middle school through one of my friends who had some land up in Trempealeau County. And I just always had this feeling like I just maybe didn't miss my calling, but I wasn't born into a family of farmers. Yeah. And I always wished I would have, because I have grandparents, great grandparents, same with my wife, that were farmers and then left the farm and, you know, moved to the city like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But once I got to the NFL, I always thought like, hey, if I can take anything from my career, I want to be able to have a little spot of my own in the country where I can hunt and fish and take my kids and make those amazing memories that families that have the opportunity to get outside and get into the country are able to make. And you know, I was lucky enough that I found the perfect place here in Muscadet, right. Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think it's great. But also, I love that story because I think it speaks to so many people. We were just up in Butternut last week. We did the show up there in Hayward. And I think about how many guys maybe on the that want to play football or girls that want to might play professional basketball, whatever it might be. And they're sitting there in rural Wisconsin, man, if I could just play the NFL. And here's a Hall of Famer sitting there in Cleveland going, man, if I could just get back to Wisconsin and farm.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, that's why I played football, so I could make enough money to go farm when I was done, right? There is life after football. It includes some farming, but no, I mean, I was in college, and it was funny because I had a friend who had a farm in Gotham, mm-hmm. and I'd never been west of Madison growing up. You know, growing up in the Milwaukee area, it's pretty flat. Not a lot of hills out there. And I didn't even know that the driftless part of the state existed. I didn't realize we have hills like this. I didn't realize we have valleys and trout streams. And it was in college when my friend invited me out to Gotham, and I drove out here to do some turkey hunting. And I all of a sudden hit that first bluff as you leave Madison on Highway 14 going west. And I'm like, where did I go? I don't think I made it all the way to Colorado. Is this the Rockies, Mom? And it was at that moment where I was like, well, okay, now I know where I want my farm. If I got a chance to get some land, it's in the western part of the state. It's the Driftless because it's wild. The people are wonderful and fantastic. The hunting's amazing. The trout fishing is incredible. And you have this unique biodiversity that's right here. And although I didn't have a lot of plans to be a farmer, I knew that, hey, if there was a place that I ended up raising livestock or I wanted to tend to crops and cash crop, like this is where you want to be because it's got the most fertile soils in the state. It's got the most interesting topography. We keep out a lot of the big, huge corporate farmers because we don't have those big fields that they can efficiently plant with the giant tractors and the big combines. And so there was a small town family farm feel when I was out here, and it just felt like home the minute I walked out for the very first time turkey hunting in Gotham, Wisconsin, not too far down the river here.
Mom lives back in Richland Center, and whenever I drive back from Madison, I get to Spring Green, I see those kind of bluffs and hills, I think, well, I'm home. There's a certain feeling out here, and it's really cool to hear somebody like you, you know, connect with that and feel that too, and that's why I talk it up a lot. You know, I'm very proud to come from this part of the state for all the reasons that you said. You were talking with Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer in college and the NFL as well as far as football. We're here at his farm, Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin. Joe, you were one of the last players that played for the great Barry Alvarez for the Wisconsin Badgers, played all 4 years at Wisconsin, had a great career there. Just let's before we get to the present, we'll bring Brady in later on, do the over-under for this season later. But let's talk about your
time.
Put
the pressure on him. I'm not ready for that yet.
But talk a little bit about your career at Wisconsin. Again, Barry Alvarez, a legend in his own right.
Yeah, Barry was so awesome to play for. And I just feel so fortunate because I played 3 years for Barry mm-hmm. and then my last year with Brett Bielema. So I got to see both coaching styles and kind of see the beginning of Brett's career and then it was right there at the end of Barry's career. And I learned so much, not just with football, but just about being a man, being an adult, taking responsibility, being in charge of your own happiness with mm-hmm. Barry. Because I always thought that even when you walked in there as an 18-year-old freshman, he treated you like a man, but then he expected you to do man things. Like, yeah. He worked your butt off. Mm-hmm. And it really taught you that work ethic, taught you what the culture of being a Wisconsin Badger is all about. It taught you about, you know, how you go through hard times and adversity and you pull together, and the meaning of working for not just yourself, but the team concept of doing something for the man that's next to you. And those are lessons that I took throughout my NFL career that helped me. And then now they're the same values and lessons I'm trying to teach my kids. And there's no better place to teach them those values than in Wisconsin and on a farm in Wisconsin. So that's why it's just every chance we get, we bring the kids out here. We're trying to work the cattle. We're trying to go run around and get dirty and just teach them about what childhood should be all about.
Right. I watched the Brewers game last night. Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, was on the mound. Got beat up a little bit in the first inning. Had a couple of maybe a bad call and a ball off of his leg. And the Brewers were down 3-0 in the first inning. But the kid kept his composure, bounced back. And as you said, under Barry Alvarez in football, I think it reveals who a person is internally as well as athletically when you have to go through and push through those hard times in athletics.
Yeah, I think adversity does a great job of revealing who you are, your true character. You know, my wife and I always laugh when you meet like an old crusty person. You talk about age kind of just reveals who you are. You just become more of whatever you are. And that's the same thing with adversity. If you're a person that's always looking to cut and run and looking for an excuse not to fight your way out of something, like, it's going to show up when times get tough. It's going to show up on the football field, on the practice field, in training camp, when it's 90 degrees and you're sweating, you're losing 10 pounds of sweat every single day. And it would be easy to just be like, the hamstring's a little tight today. You can see me in the training room, right? It's air conditioned in there. But just having that mentality, like, whatever it takes, I'm going to figure it out because this is important, and making it about somebody besides yourself, which always makes you fight harder and work harder. And I'm just so thankful to have that background, obviously growing up in the state, learning the values that the state of Wisconsin has, and also learning the culture of what a Wisconsin Badger meant going back all the way when Barry first got there in the 90s. And it's important life lessons, like I mentioned, that I'm telling my kids today and trying to preach to them. Of course, they're never listening, but at some point, maybe one of those things will strike home and they'll remember it.
2 minutes here before the first break, Joe. I was at the Dane County Memorial Coliseum for a Badger hockey game the night that they introduced Barry Alvarez, and the place went crazy.
How about that?
And we all from the outside said this guy has something. What was it like to be in the locker room later on after he'd been there a while? But to witness that, the guy just seems to have a vision that's unshakable.
Yeah, he was a guy that came to Wisconsin with a vision. He knew what he wanted, and he knew how to get it done, and he knew the guys that he needed to get in there to make it happen. And, I mean, they had a lot of turnover. I'm sure in the first couple of years, there was a lot of guys in the team saying, oh, this Barry Alvarez guy, it'll never work. I can't play for him. I'm out of here, right? And that's just natural when you're bringing in a new culture, a new way of doing things, but you have that vision, that unwavering vision of how things have to go and the type of people that you need, not only just from the player standpoint, but the coaching standpoint, to get to that ultimate goal. And for Barry, it was so important that they were able to turn it around and get to that Rose Bowl and win it, because then that just proves your theory, not only for everybody else, but for yourself, that this is the right track. These are the things and the values that I need to teach on this team to have consistent success. And then he went on and he did it for a really, really long time.
I was going to school at Platteville in 94 when they went to that first Rose Bowl, and it was electric. I mean, it was fantastic. Joe Thomas is our guest. We're here at Six Springs Farm in Southwest Wisconsin. When we come back, Joe got drafted third, but instead of going to the draft, he did something else. We'll tell you what that is after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show, live on location at Six Springs Farm on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location from Six Springs Farm, here along with Joe Thomas, the proprietor thereof, also NFL and college football Hall of Famer, straight off of Joe's Spotify playlist. Joe, we appreciate you sharing some of that. Zomer is going to be playing some of that back at home, but you're a country music guy.
I love country music. I actually went to 2 days of Morgan Wallen when he was at Camp Randall.
I saw that on your Insta.
Yeah. Went the first night with my wife and some of our friends. It was awesome, and I was still buzzing the next day. And my kids are big Morgan Wallen fans, So we're like, should we just try to get some tickets and get out there? We got to take these kids. I mean, it was such an amazing event, and being the first concert at Camp Randall in, I don't know, a couple decades.
Long time, yeah.
They really did an awesome job, and the fans were out there. It was an awesome show, so I'm really happy I took the family there. Unfortunately, my six-year-old had enough right before Morgan Wallen came out wearing my jersey.
So
I didn't even get to see that.
Oh, no.
I was carrying her in the parking lot by Lot 17, and she was crying. And it was like 11 o'clock at night because there was a rain delay that night, and so it got started a little bit later. And all of a sudden, my phone is just blowing up. I got my Apple Watch on so I can see all these people texting me, and I finally looked, and there was a picture of Morgan Wallen wearing my jersey. And I'm like, are you serious? It's happening right in there right now, and I just left with my six-year-old. So that was a surprise, but it was a fun story I can tell her when she gets older and more responsible.
But people were talking about this on socials that they didn't reach out to you. They didn't coordinate
No. I mean, I'd been in communication with their manager, and they gave me tickets. Which I was very happy for because they were not cheap tickets, not easy to get. But I was like, you know what? If he's going to wear my jersey, it would be nice to get a heads up so I could at least like stay for one more song, maybe. I mean, obviously they didn't know that was going to be the situation, but it was kind of funny. So I'm hoping to see him again because he's coming to Cleveland on the big stadium tour. So I'll be out there for the Browns preseason games and stuff. So I'm hoping to catch him one more time.
By the way, years ago, my dad is a big music guy, and we flew out to Cleveland together for a dad-son trip. We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is spectacular, but people don't realize how close that is to the stadium. And I got to go in it. It's a really cool stadium right next to the Lake Erie there.
Yeah, it's awesome. They did a great job right there with that little riverfront, lakefront area. The whole river as it goes in is called the Flats District, and they've renovated it with a ton of cool like music and bar and breweries. And so that area is really cool. And then you go around the corner and you're right on the lake, and it's the Browns Stadium. You got the Science Center right there, which is a great spot for kids, especially my wife had three little kids and I was in practice all day, and so she went there all the time because it was a good way to waste a few hours and get the kids out of the house. And then right next to it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is awesome. If you're a fan of any music, really, going there and seeing the memorabilia and hearing the stories, it's incredible. Actually, when I got inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame, we had a celebration in Cleveland for all my Cleveland friends and family and some of the people from the team. And so we actually had it at the Rock Hall, which was really awesome. Yeah, it was a special night.
That's really, really amazing. Well, speaking of special nights, after playing for Wisconsin, did outstanding, end up getting drafted third in 2007 in the NFL draft. And today, of course, we was up at Lambeau this year, and it's a week-long production now, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't quite that, but they wanted you to come to the draft.
They did. They were upset when I said, I've got better things to do. I'm fishing with my dad. It's been on the calendar for like 18 years at this point. I've been doing this since I was 4 years old. Didn't you guys get the memo? But Gil Brandt, he was a scout for the Cowboys for a long time. Actually made the NFL Hall of Fame as a scout. I don't know if he's the first one ever, but legendary figure in NFL circles. And at that time, he was working for the NFL, and he was selecting the five players that they were going to invite to the draft, because at that point they would just invite five guys. They would come and then, you know, do the dog and pony show, wear your expensive suit that you probably can't afford yet because you haven't signed your contract, go and shake Roger Goodell's hands, hang out with all the media people, put your face on TV. And as a lineman, that was not exactly a high priority for me. First of all, I didn't have a suit. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I get a suit made? That's going to be costly. Don't want to do that. Not exactly a suit guy. And then also, I was like, why would I want to go hang out with a bunch of people I don't know?
Right.
Like, on draft day, if this is supposed to be a special day, I want to be with the people that are meaningful to me, like my family, my dad. And knowing that after you get drafted, you basically get put on a plane and immediately you go to your city. You have media, press conference. And then you jump right into rookie minicamp, and then you're pretty much gone until about the 1st of July, and then they give you a few weeks off before training camp starts. But, I mean, it is fast. Yeah. So you go from just training and being done with college and getting ready for the combine and the draft to all of a sudden, boom, you're on a team. You are now, especially me as a first-round pick, you are the guy that's got the pressure that all the eyes are going to be on. Mm-hmm. And so things get really busy, and I was looking at the calendar like, I don't know when the next time I'm going to be able to fish with my dad is going to be. So I'm definitely taking this opportunity. And so Gil called me a couple times and was all excited. Hey, can't wait to tell you, Joe, we're going to have you out to New York for the NFL draft. And I don't think I said anything the first time we talked because I was a little surprised, but I also didn't want to tell him right away and, like, yeah, you know, make him be upset. So I just told my agent, I was like, I don't think I'm going to go to the draft. I'm going to just go fish with my dad. And he's like, okay, no problem. It's no big deal. I'm like, they tell me I'm going to get all these marketing dollars, but I'm a lineman. I got a face for radio, and they don't really want to see me. It's not really worth my time, and I'd rather just go fish. And so I told Gil then the next time he called, and I think he was pretty surprised because nobody at that point yet had said they're not going to New York because I think people saw it like he was trying to portray it as, hey, look at this great opportunity. The NFL world can get to know you. They can see your face. You know, as a football player, you're wearing your helmet all the time, so people don't really know your face like they do in the other sports. And so this is your big, big breakthrough opportunity. And I said, Gil, I appreciate it. It's a great honor, but I'd rather go fishing with my dad. And I'm going to just be honest. Like, I think if I make any money in football, it's going to be on the field. It's not going to be doing endorsements for Dove Chocolates or somebody like this. Like, I'm a football player. I'm a lineman, okay? And so he was like, whatever, went back to the NFL. And then I get another call, and the tone changed a little bit. Now he's, like, pissed because you could tell the NFL was giving him heat. Like, hey, we got to get these five guys there. We got a show to have. Like, there's no show without the actors, so we need him there. And so then he started hitting me with this real heavy full-court press about, like, hey, you gotta be here or they're going to think you're a prima donna and we'll maybe finish after the commercial break here.
He's a pro. He works for the NFL Network. Come on, we'll finish the story on the other side. Pam Jahnke, Midwest Farm Report, and the Ag Update is next. We'll be back live at Six Springs Farm after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on location on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between across the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday afternoon. We're live from Six Springs Farm in beautiful southwest Wisconsin. That is home to me and home to the person joining us here on the set, the one, the only. He is a three-time Big Ten champion with the Wisconsin Badger football team and spent 3 years in the league, as they say. Mr. Brady Ewing joins us now. Brady, thanks for coming on down to hop, skip, and a jump. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Thanks for letting me join you guys today.
Well, it's our pleasure. And, of course, our main host here at Six Springs Farm, the owner, the proprietor, NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. Joe, once again, thank you for allowing us to come out here and tell this story. Really, really appreciate this today.
Oh, this is awesome. This is so special for us out here to be able to tell the story of the farm and tell the story of the great people and places and the great things we're doing here in the Driftless area.
Yeah, absolutely. So before the break, I had to step away and do a little Midwest farm report. And who is better than Pam Jahnke?
Nobody.
Right?
Nobody. I thought she was AI before AI existed because she never makes a mistake.
Right.
She's so clear and perfect and interesting every time she does all the market reports and stuff. And I just love listening. I wish I could just listen to her all day. Like, if I could just put that on the radio in the skid loader, the tractor, and just have her talk ag to me all day long. Somebody needs to develop that app, and I'd buy it.
I'm down for that. And, of course, she's a big NFL fan for the Packers, of course.
Yeah,
but I mean,
okay.
She loves the NFL.
Yeah, fabulous farm babe is also an NFL fan. I mean, I'm not surprised. She's the total package.
She really is. We're happy and fortunate to have her here as part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Joe, before the break, you were telling us a little bit about being drafted number three in 2007. You skipped the draft. Back then, it was always in New York. Because you wanted to go fishing with your dad and your grandpa, and your agent seemed to be okay, but other people really wanted you to come.
Well, the NFL realized that in order for them to make tens of millions of dollars with TV rights, they need the players there, but they weren't sharing it with us at the time. And so I think after they kind of took a little hardball approach to say, like, if you don't come, they're going to think you're a prima donna, nobody's going to want you, I was like, okay, we'll see. Like, I think I'll be all right. I don't think I'm getting docked because I'd rather go fishing with my dad than be on TV. Like, so we pushed back. I'm so happy that I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just was not interested in New York, and I'd much rather spend the day fishing with my dad. And it's interesting because that story resonated with so many people. And even to this day when the draft comes up, and I got a chance to work the draft this year in Green Bay, there's so many people that aren't Browns fans. They're like, hey, you're that guy that went fishing with your dad. And then they'll tell me a story that it's so close to my heart because they'll tell me, you know, my dad passed away 10 years ago, but that's what I always love to do on the weekends with him. And I have so many great memories of him fishing. So thanks for doing that because it gave me an opportunity to reflect on our relationship. And so just doing something unintentionally, having an effect on people and giving them the emotion, the feeling, the family, opportunity to reflect on those times that they had and what fishing provides, what the outdoors provides to so many families. It's so cool because I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason, like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
Brady, we talk about this on this show all the time, but the value of time with family. And I think that story about Joe, A, just tells you everything you need to know about this guy. But I think from a fan perspective, to your point, Joe, I mean, when we announced that you were coming on last week, we had people texting in saying, I always love Joe Thomas because he gave the middle finger to the draft. their words, not mine.
Yeah, I mean,
that's kind
of what happened.
But put his family first. And Brady, I think that is just so important to the character as somebody who played in college, who played in the NFL. Isn't that the guy you want in your team?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to have your priorities in line to where you want to spend time with your dad, even amidst a big opportunity like that, is crazy. I mean, I know myself as a dad, I find excuses now to not take my kids fishing, but what a better example from Joe to say, even in this big pinnacle moment of your career, to still prioritize that. And maybe there was some ulterior motives with throwing up the middle finger, but it's really cool. And I remember, you know, looking up to you as a kid growing up in the state of Wisconsin, to remember seeing that and hearing that story. It was impactful to me at that time and still is today. So thanks for that.
Thank you, man.
I think it really set the tone for a lunch pail kind of guy in Cleveland. I'm coming in here to work my ass off, not to be a prima donna.
Yeah, obviously I didn't know who was going to draft me. Maybe if I got drafted in New York or L.A. or, you know, Arizona, it'd be a different reception. But as soon as I got to Cleveland, I mean, that was what all the fans wanted to talk to me about. Like, oh, that was so cool. We knew you were going to be one of us. When you decided to go fishing with your dad, you had the priorities in order. And Cleveland's a lot like Milwaukee, like Ohio, Wisconsin, very similar type people, very similar values. Family's really important. The outdoors are a big part of a lot of people's lives. And so they were Browns fans, but they also knew, like, hey, when you went fishing, it told us a lot about who you are and what's important to you and that you're going to be a great fit here for the Browns.
One of the coolest things to bring up another sport for a second ever got to do was go to the old County Stadium and see Cal Ripken at Milwaukee County Stadium back in the day. But Joe, you're the Cal Ripken of the NFL. I mean, 11 seasons at Cleveland, had 10,363 consecutive snaps, not games, folks, snaps, the longest in the NFL. You just came to work every day and got it done.
Yeah, that is the mentality that I had growing up. That's the values and the perspective that my dad gave me. Like, my dad, I think he never missed a day of work in like 20 years. And there was one day in Milwaukee that he told me about when I was a kid where they got like 16 inches of snow. And he was living, I think, in Wauwatosa at the time. And it was like 15 miles to get into the office. And instead of making an excuse and finding a reason why I can't work and I can't get my stuff done today, it's like, okay. He's like, I put my cross-country skis on and I skied to work. I had a backpack with my suit and everything I needed. I got there and I got my job done. Yeah. And I think it's interesting, like, when you make that decision, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to let anything stop, it's almost a freeing feeling because then you don't have to think about every little thing. Should I do that today? I don't know. How hard should I work? You're able to just eliminate that from your mind, and it's like, I'm here to work. I'm here to do the job. Tell me what you need done, and I'm going to do it. And I think it's just a nice, easy feeling of freedom, and gives you the ability to just focus on what I have to do. And whatever it takes, I'm going to be the best left tackle I possibly can. I'll be there every day, and you can count on me.
We're here at Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin talking to NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with my co-host for the rest of the show, Brady Ewing, in his own right, three-time Big Ten champion for the Wisconsin Badgers and also spent 3 years in the NFL. Guys, I want a little discussion here. Mainly, I'm just going to sit here and watch, but what I'm interested is, I mean, Joe, you were blessed, I would say, but you worked your butt off to earn it, but also just fortunate in this sport to have 11 consecutive seasons until it was a bicep you tore.
For my tricep in year 11.
Brady, your NFL career was cut short by injuries. You were pretty much healthy your entire time at Wisconsin, and then just ran into the injury bug in the NFL. Didn't get to spend as much time there. But I like both of your observations, Brady, you, and then Joe. What do you take away from the time that you did have in the league in football, and how do you apply that to what you do today?
It's what Joe talked about earlier, you know, the lessons you learn going alongside a team, searching to pursue a certain goal together, going through that adversity, going through the daily grind where you have to make that decision, because even if you do make that decision, there's still days where you're like, oh crap, like we're going to go out there and we got to do this thing again. And I'm interested in Joe's perspective on that, because as a guy that contrasts his career, you know, playing 3 years, all of which ended up on injured reserve at some point, you know, I didn't really have the ability to make that decision. So I'm interested to hear how you did that, especially as your career aged. How were you able to make that decision and still find that balance to, you know, keep yourself healthy and still go out and attack it and lead the team in an organization that you were a staple for many years?
Yeah. It takes a lot of good fortune and good luck to play a full NFL season and be healthy, right? I mean, it's a very violent sport. There's a lot of big collisions, and things can happen. I mean, even things that aren't your fault, like the pile falls on the back of your legs or things like that, that really are hard to control. But I always just prided myself in my preparation, and that was the film work, that was study of the playbook, understanding, hey, okay, if I'm running an outside zone to the left and that back's going to cut back, this is the hole, like, there's going to be a dude flying in from the other side tackling him. So I better keep my feet moving and drive my guy out of the hole, or that's the back of my knee. That's the entire pile is going to be tackled on. So having awareness like that helped. Obviously, God-given ability is really important. Your genetic makeup, you know, just like the 100% Wagyu cows behind us, genetically predisposed to having buttery, delicious, marbled beef. You're not going to get there unless you feed them the right way. And that was the same thing like in my career. Like, I knew that I had to eat the right way to be able to keep the weight on, to be able to recover from the hard workouts. And then as my career wore on, it was much more about focusing on the things that I needed to do off the field: yoga, stretching, cold tub, hot tub, massage, you know, the dry needling, all the different things that helps keep you on the field. And really a big part of it for me was finding yoga and practicing yoga on a almost daily basis and learning to connect your mind to your body and being able to feel and sense within your own body as an athlete. I'm sure, Brady, you felt the same way. Like, you know when something's not working right, sequencing, the muscles are not all firing the way they should, and trying to take care of it before practice starts rather than going out there and saying, oh, I'll just play through it. And then all of a sudden now you're favoring that, and then you do get injured somewhere else. And so just really being diligent with all of your prehab, with all of your rehab, and making sure that your training is spot on so that you're going to at least give yourself the best chance to stay healthy when you do go out there.
It's fascinating to me. And I, you know, as you look at, you know, my career and the things, to going back to your question, what I learned from that time, physically, I think you learned a ton about your body, about your mind, about pushing certain limits and being able to channel what you've learned there as a dad in the business world. That motivation, the way that you find yourself, you know, facing certain situations where, like you said earlier, it's like, okay, I got no choice. You know, I got my family counting on me. I got, you know, this thing, like, what am I going to do? Curl back in a corner? Like, that wasn't an option on the football field. And if it was, you wouldn't be a part of the team. And so using those lessons, let alone the relationships that you have, the people that you meet, the people that you're able to have an impact on just because of the platform that the game's blessed you with. You know, your platform far exceeds anything that I've been fortunate to have. But, yeah, puts you in contact with some amazing people, and you get to learn from them too. So I'd say that's some of the biggest blessings of my football career.
Joe, 2 minutes left here before the next break. But what you both said, I think those of us who are fans, we think, I see a lot of high school football games. And those guys work hard too. But what you said, both you said, the preparation, the awareness, taking care, it is a job. It's not just going out there playing a game like kids every Sunday afternoon. It is a full-time job to take care of your body and your mind so you can perform.
Yeah, there's a reason that a lot of NFL players are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on chefs and massage therapists and all these personal trainers and physical therapists, because your job is your business in the NFL, and I've got to stay healthy. I've got to be at my best. I got to be in great shape at all times, because this is what I'm riding, whether I succeed or I fail when I'm out there. And like Brady was saying, my family's counting on me. My teammates are counting on me. The city's counting on me. And that was one of the things that I mentioned in my Hall of Fame speech down in Canton a few years ago was the lessons that I learned from Barry Alvarez. And one of the things he'd always say is, count on me. We had a big sign in the locker room that said, count on me. And that's the type of teammate that he wanted. That's the type of teammate that I always strive to be. I wanted to be that guy that could say it in hard times, hey, count on me. Let's go. I know we're down 14-0 right now, but this is our roadmap to getting that victory, and count on me. Follow me. I'll be the leader. I'll be that guy that's breaking down the door. So if you follow me, we'll be all right.
We're going to come back, talk more with Joe Thomas, Brady Ewing, a little Badger football, and transition into Hour 2, which is going to be all about beef. Don't go anywhere. Live from Six Springs Farm here in Southwest Wisconsin, across Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I don't care whether you're going through downtown Milwaukee, Green Bay, Eau Claire, whether you're on a tractor in Amory or Richland Center, you haven't got it as good as we do, right? Is it Jim Harbaugh that says, who's got it as good as we do?
Nobody. I know
Nobody.
That answer. Nobody.
We got it good here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our live on-location show today from Six Springs Farm in Southwest Wisconsin. Hall of Famer in the NFL and college football. Joe Thomas is not only our host, but our guest as well here at Six Springs Farm, along with three-time Big Ten champion and spent 3 years in the NFL, Mr. Brady Ewing, on the set with us as our co-host for the rest of the show as well. Joe, off the stream, I got to get up here because I don't have the glasses on. Tony on YouTube says, who wins between Joe Thomas and current Miles Garrett?
Peak Joe Thomas and current Miles Garrett.
He says, since Joe obviously wins, should the Browns have also paid you $40 million a year?
Okay, I'm glad that they answered the question for me. Yes, I mean, that's the easiest question we'll probably get all day. I'm in full agreement. And right. Call me, I need a new agent.
Thank you, Tony, on YouTube. We appreciate that. Look, guys, let's talk a little bit about Badger football, but I don't want to ignore this here before we really get into talking about a lot of Wagyu beef, especially in Hour 2. That's a really cool part about being out here today. Brady and I have talked about this, Joe, on our show, and before each season, Brady and I have looked at the schedule and offered our prognostications. Now, look, there may have been two of the three people on the set today that bought all the hype in year one of Luke Fickell and said they would get to the college football playoffs, and it's not Joe Thomas.
Not good. Injuries happen.
But just give us your reflections. I mean, I said to Brady, what, a couple, 3 weeks ago, I said, can you name one person on the current Badger football roster? And for the first time since I can remember, I can't. And, I mean, I know there's NIL now, and there's a transfer portal, and it's not the same as when you guys played, right? But I think there's a lot of Wisconsin. Now, J.J. Watt was back in Wisconsin last week before, really trying to connect the past with the present. But give us your feelings, Joe, on this current iteration of the Badgers. They have what some are saying the toughest schedule in college football this year. What are your thoughts?
It's a tough schedule. I mean, you look at it, when Brady and I were playing, you had at least four cupcakes on the calendar that you knew you were going to win those. And then, you know, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, they weren't as good as they are right now. And so you knew if you played well enough, you're going to win those games. And then as long as you beat either Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State, you were going to have a 10-win season, and it would be chalked up to a great success. But the NFL and college football are a lot more similar now, where the schedules are a lot more challenging, obviously with the realignment of the Big Ten and adding UCLA and USC and Oregon. Like, now you've got every single week where it's a really tough battle, and you can't just sneak by beating a bunch of patsies and get into a bowl game. And so I think – it's a challenging time because of obviously NIL and the transfer portal. And then on top of that, you have a much more difficult schedule than when we were there. But all of those things put together. And by the way, like, fans' expectations are still what they were 10 years ago about, hey, we got to get to 10 wins to have a successful season. Even though the field of college football is just a lot different, I think the transfer portal, NIL, they've made a lot more parity throughout the league. It's one of the reasons Nick Saban didn't want to do it anymore, because he couldn't stack his roster with five-star recruits the way he used to, because other teams can pay money too, just like they've been doing forever. What would I say that?
Brady?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough year. I mean, I talk about the non-conference schedule we used to have. You know, if you played well, if you showed up and did what you were supposed to do, those were typically wins. Now they got Alabama, I think, this year as a non-conference game. And you look at Illinois, you look at Minnesota, you look at others that, yeah, they're not gimmies anymore, and they've been outperforming the Badgers the last couple of years. So it feels weird as a former player to where, you know, we've traditionally been one of those top-tier teams with the realignment, with some of these other programs coming up, like Bielema bringing Illinois up. It's tough to see as a former Badger. It's tough to see them struggling. I'm hopeful with the new offensive coordinator, and I like his mindset. I like his mentality of being a – I think he said run first offense, I believe is what he said. But just that mentality piece, I feel like, has been missing in the identity for the Badgers here the last couple of years, that run first physical type offense.
And just a couple minutes left. But I think that's what, as fans, you know, what do we know? But I think that's what frustrated that, hey, I mean, Chris McIntosh rolled the dice, decided to blow it up, let Jimmy Leonard go. And I think a lot of Badger fans are like, why blow up what had been more or less working for so long? You rolled the dice with a whole new system, and people feel like you've lost 3 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of love for Wisconsin people in Wisconsin, right? Yeah. We love the homegrown story. We love the guys that grew up in the state and played for the Badgers. And so I played with Jimmy in the NFL and in college, a great human being, a great coach. And so when you make that decision, the pressure gauge is dialing up, especially you let Paul Chris go, who'd had a great run here at Wisconsin. So a lot of pressure. And then all of a sudden, you're not able to have that success early on in your career as a coach. And so people are wondering, rightly so, like, hey, are we going to turn this thing around? Can we get back to who we used to be? And I think Coach Fickell's done a good job recruiting. But one of the big issues, I think, that Brady mentioned, too, is just that dislocation between who Wisconsin's always been, who are the players that we can get in here that can make a difference, and what is our difference maker, right? It's always been, hey, we're going to get the most out of all of our guys. They're going to play great team football. They're going to be selfless, and they're going to work really hard, and we're going to be able to use those tools to turn us into a really good team. And I think when you had an offense that was pass first, and then now you don't have a quarterback because they've been injured, and then it's always a little harder to recruit top-end quarterbacks at Wisconsin, and you kind of get away from us running the ball and getting big and physical. It's all those perfect storms put together that led to frustration in Badger football. But going back to that run first physical style, leaning on what we can do from a recruiting standpoint, what type of players we can recruit and produce in the state of Wisconsin, I think things are looking brighter for Badger football.
Come on back. Hour two from Six Springs Farm in Southwest Wisconsin. Joe Thomas, Brady Ewing. What's worse and why goo beef? Stay tuned.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.